the whole of justice.
And yeah.
I know we're killing you on editing.
Well, I know. Jesus Christ, you should see my fucking sheet here. It looks like Helen Keller's trying to fucking write the alphabet. Greetings from the world of Vegas Confessions. On this show, we're digging a little deeper into the very, very controversial subject of kids in Vegas.
Love them in Vegas or hate them in Vegas. We've gathered some votes and some thoughts that were sent out, and we have a couple of confessions to read from fans and how they feel about kids in Vegas. Also, stay with us for some Vegas show history.
You can't believe how many Vegas shows have come and gone, or still there, but we give you a rundown. We're also throwing in a food review in this one, a restaurant that we think you guys should find on your next Vegas trip.
Plus shout-outs and, of course, never-ending love from the Vegas Confessions crew. Here we go!
There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Everything about
him. Peekaboo, you fucks you. I see you, you motherfucker.
Do you want to talk, or do you want to bet?
We had 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered water acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, a whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers, also a quarter tequila, quarter rum, case of beer, pint of raw ether, 2 dozen emus.
Counting cards is a foolproof system.
It's also illegal.
It's not illegal, it's frowned upon, like masturbating on an airplane.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal, too.
Yeah, maybe after 9/11, where everybody gets so sensitive. Thanks a lot, Vinmon.
Hey, everybody. Welcome yet again to Vegas Confessions. I'm Shane.
I'm Julian.
I'm Eric.
There you go. Here we are. So, yet another episode. Hopefully, you guys like last one. We got some things to cover, like we covered in our topics earlier. We're going to talk about kids. We got some Vegas show notes and things like that. We're going to roll into some shout outs real quick, and then we'll go from there. I personally want to thank Melanie first off. I had the pleasure of meeting her at Ellis Island during the Super Bowl XXL. It was fantastic. She was such a great person. She actually sent out something that Jay Schwartz and Ed both had mentioned for the VA perks, which is something we want to cover. She sent out some real quick things about the Epic Pass. She's a big skier, and in Nevada up on the mountains, for those of you who know there's more Las Vegas than just Las Vegas, you can actually ski in the surrounding areas. She sent a little link to the Epic Pass and what VAs can get for a discount for that. So Melanie, I thank you very much. I also want to give a shout out to our East Coast bud, Ed. You know, we've mentioned him time and time and again. Great guy. You know, pleasure always meeting him. But he is actually sending me a book about Vegas history. One of his old favorite books that he has. And I can't thank him enough just for kind of thinking of that and sending it out. You know, it's kind of cool, the people you meet. And when you meet somebody like that, that just kind of, you know, it builds that friendship. So those are my shout outs on my side, other than just all you guys that are listening and tuning in.
Awesome. I have some on my side as well. I have Tim from the Better Life podcast. I got to talk to him this week for the first time. We did an interview for his show. Super, super cool guy. Had an amazing time. We laughed our asses off during the whole thing. It was just fun to talk to somebody who just knows the gambling, just knows the wordage, and just has overall, he's a don't come better. So he's just my kind of guy. Just an overall good time. Had a blast with the guy. Also had a Murph Bravo, Kid Dakota, Trent Davidson, and Mike Cunningham all getting some Vegas Confessions shirts sent out to them this week.
Oh, cool.
So excited for them to reach out and ask to get a shirt. I mean, and anybody else, whoever's looking for a shirt, reach out to us. We'll get you guys some shirts and get you guys fitted well. Also, David Sowell, he actually reached out to us because our last show, we talked a little bit about collections, and Eric mentioned his chip collection. Oh, well, yeah. This guy had a big chip collection, and he's actually a member of a chip collecting club. So he just overheard the show, thought he'd give us a shout-out. So again, shout-out to you, David. Thank you for listening, man. And he said if we have any questions as far as casino chips and collections, to give him a holler, man. So that was pretty cool of him.
That is cool, dude. Back to reaching out. That's awesome.
I've got Doug from Houston. He also goes by Doug Two Pair Sevens. I'd like to hear the story behind that name. Doug was reaching out, sent me a story about his family going to Vegas and responsible parenting in Vegas. So good on you, Doug. We're going to talk about your letter probably on a later episode, but appreciate you listening and reaching out. My other shout out is to Mr. Michael Mason Traeger. Got a call earlier in the week and said, hey, out of nowhere, I'm going to be in the States. Can you make it to Mohegan?
Oh.
So, to anybody listening, this weekend, that'll be March 24th and 25th, I will be at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. I'm going to do a little bit of scouting for Gamblepalooza and spend some time with some friends. So, if you're going to be there, why don't you reach out? Let me know. We'll grab a drink.
You know, Eric's doing so much stuff, I can't even keep up with his life. I've been writing a journal trying to document everything, and I just completely lost track of it. So that's awesome. Yeah, well, those are the shout-outs. And, you know, again, just everybody. You know, we're loving what we do, and hopefully you guys like what we're talking about, and, you know, we'll go from there. The one thing that we covered a couple episodes ago, which was a surprise, I mean, I don't know, it was a surprise to me how many people went, wait, what, type thing, and it was about kids in Vegas.
Hey, you kids, get the F off my lawn!
So, again, thanks for Chris off Aces and Aces. You know, he says, hey, maybe you should do this, so we did it. You know, we put this little poll out on Twitter. We just kept it there. I was curious how, you know, we're just going to put it on the Vegas Confessions page, and I decided to throw one on mine just for kind of an example thing. We're going to talk about the percentages and kind of where they rolled in, because there's people that are kind of curious where other people stand, I guess, about the whole thing. Kind of a cool topic, honestly. Did you guys think it was going to blow up kind of like it did?
No, I'm still getting stuff today.
Jesus, that's funny.
I expected it to be a pretty polarizing topic. Yeah. I know I've gotten into some fairly heated discussions over the years. So I'm not shocked that we're still getting replies, but I'll admit the breakout was a little different than I thought it would be.
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah, I was kind of surprised too, after like what we had talked about, some of our, you know, people that we kind of deal with every day and kind of what they talked about. It was a surprise. So, you know, drum roll, we're going to kind of hold this thing out. And what we're going to do is read the one that was actually on my Twitter page, which was different from what was on Vegas Confessions. And then I think Julian might have some quick little notes following up as far as people that wrote in. I know that Michael Traeger wrote in and some other people wrote in about what they did. But anyway, so the polls, there's three topics on this. So it was kids want to see stuff too. Obviously, bring them, love them type thing. It was yes, but within a reason, sin within a reason, which basically, you know, yeah, bring them, but there's a difference. It changes the trip of the adults and when they're actually out, you know, and what they're going on. You know, there's a line in the sand type thing. And then people just, you know, nope, hey, this is my thing. I don't want to see kids. The breakdown on my Twitter was actually 8% kids want to see stuff too, 54% yes within sin, and 38% nope, they just my place to play. So the Vegas Confessions one, which is even more surprising after our conversation, was 13% kids want to see stuff too, 25% sin without reason, and 62% my place to play. Like 38% versus 62%. What do you guys think about that thing?
All right. Well, I will say that's not too surprising to me, especially with our listeners. That seem like they're the wild party people, always on the go, very hard to sit in one place type group. So that doesn't really surprise me. But I do want to give a shout out to everybody that participated in the poll or just commented on something that we put up on Twitter.
Definitely.
First, starting with Michael Traeger, Chris Moore, Just 1-1, Whispers Vegas, Las Vegas Junkie Podcast, Faces and Aces Podcast, Shannon Niles, Joey Gibson. He actually put up a really funny picture. I'll get to that in a minute. Vegas Mandolin, Patrick Sheltra, The Jackalope, Casey, Dale from the UK, and Bogan Painter. Thank you guys for all participating, and I do have some interesting comments. One's from Saul. He says, I've gotten to see so much fun and nostalgic stuff taking his son and nephew to Vegas. Kyle said, cool. Rather have his son experience Vegas now compared to experiencing it when he turns 21.
I got that.
Dale says, depends on the child's age. From 11 up, he's confident he could keep a child entertained, having fun, while he keeps himself entertained and having fun as well. He doesn't think Vegas has to be all about boozing and gambling, but there's tons of things to do without stepping foot in a casino. He's got a point.
Yep, yep.
Also, just one mentioned, the only problem with kids in Vegas is the guilty feeling you get when you turn around and a six-year-old is listening to your explicitive field description of last night's debauchery.
God damn.
And the jackalope on the last one, he says, it has to be quick, one or two nights, tops. See a show, have a fun meal, go sightseeing, and then get out of town. Anything longer than that, adults only.
Well, there you go. And see, that varies. Those are varied opinions, but they're all legitimate, every single one of them. So, you know, I don't know. What do you think, Eric? Well, I know what you think, but I should.
So I think the sample size of the poll is really why there's so much variance.
Granted, yeah.
Right? So all it really takes is one or two people to, you know, go tip one way or the other. Right? Yeah. So I'm not shocked by there being so much of a difference. And I also think that, like, when I read it the first time, I misinterpreted what each one – well, not each one, but definitely the note, my place to play one. Like, I read that as I'm a parent and I don't want to bring my kids because I want to go there to party, not as I don't want to see any kids there. And then I read it a second time and I was like, oh, all right. It's that one.
Yeah. So, and that was me wording. That could have been my side completely, but it's like, you know, hey, I want to be a kid too, and I don't want kids around me type thing, you know. Not me personally, but, you know.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, that definitely exists. I did want to comment, and I did reply on Twitter, but to the gentleman who said, you know, I don't like it when or, you know, you feel like guilty because you turn around and there's some kid there and you were, you know, kind of doing your thing. Listen, as a parent who brings his kids to Vegas, we know that's going to happen.
Right.
Right. Now,
that's our job as parents to deal with that.
That's right.
You didn't bring any kids to Vegas. It's not your job to censor what you say or to Vegas any differently than you normally Vegas.
Yeah.
We know going in that, you know, we've got to kind of be on standby for any kind of shit that could happen. And I don't want you to change what you do because I bring my kids. So that's on us. And that's part of that whole responsible parenting thing. If you're going to bring kids there, you know, that's part of the job.
With that being said, too, I will say that on this particular person that put that comment out there, kudos on them for being cognizant. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, they know. Yeah. They're, you know, they have enough ethics and morals. Maybe they have kids. Maybe they don't. Maybe they just, you know, whatever they decided. But just to know that, okay, there might be this here. I'm with you, Eric, completely. But kudos on them kind of to see the other side of, you know, I'll watch my tongue and I'll walk into the fucking Dino's and I'll get away from the kids in here or whatever, you know. So that was kind of cool on that side. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think it was across the board.
Yeah, one more point on the poll results.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think if you look at the demographics of the Vegas casino blogosphere podcast, whatever we call ourselves, right. I think the demographics largely skew as single or married without children.
Right. Yeah.
So I would imagine most of the people listening to this right now don't have children.
Yeah.
Or if not most, you know, more.
And that's so, an assumption. I would say that's a good calculated guess. Easy, you know.
Well, most of the people that I've met or that I listen to on other podcasts don't have children.
Right.
So, you know, I'm just using that as a...
Are you saying podcasters can't have children? Is that what you're saying? Son of a bitch.
No. I'm saying most of the podcasters that I listen to don't have children.
True. Touché, sir.
There's a difference.
There is a difference.
Anyway, true, yeah. so So if those are the demographics of the group, I would assume that would impact the poll results.
Yeah. And just like anything else, I mean, this wasn't like a Fox CNN news poll and everybody take it verbatim. It was fun. It's something fun right. to kind of see and how it plays across the platforms. You know, I mean, again, we've got mixed reviews on each sides and you know, I'm like the guy that said about, you know, saying something in the debauchery. I raise my kid in my hand. Again, I get it. You know, when I turn around, I have that rapport. I'm not going to say that necessarily and other things to do with that. But no harm, no foul from anybody. Just a kind of a cool topic. Hopefully we dive into other kind of interesting topics that, you know, I've had at least 15 older women outside my house with signs picketing since this poll came out. Yeah, I'm just about tired of it. I'm done. I'm fucking absolutely done. So,
can we get Chris Kim to come out and take care of that? Because you say there's 15 older women outside your house.
Oh, he loves those older women. Uh-huh.
If this podcast drops on Friday, he'll be at your house on Saturday, I promise you.
I'm sure. Yeah, he loves that. God damn, Chris Kim. Jesus, guy. Anyway. <Ouch. laughs> But that was cool. That was fun. Yeah, I will have more stuff like that. If you guys got any, by all means, keep writing in, keep commenting, because, you know, it doesn't stop where our polls stop or, you know, our episodes are. If there's something more you want to say, love to hear it. You know, we'll always throw you out there, you know. But we are going to welcome you guys to the show at this point.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Everything about.
So we're not even going to try and cover all the shows and acts that played in Vegas over the years. You know, we don't have the patience, and having a 10-part episode to cover everything would make our minds just fucking explode. But so what we're going to do is we're going to run down some history, cover a few different genres of entertainment, what they are. That should be at least enough. To touch the tip of the iceberg. Speaking of iceberg, by the way, you can see the Titanic exhibit in the Luxor. Runs around $32, very kid friendly. Aside from the horrible history of slow frozen death at sea.
Iceberg, right ahead!
Thank you.
Anywho, here we go.
So entertainment in Vegas has gone hand in hand ever since it was built. As Vegas slowly began to build itself into a city, casinos like the Golden Gate, Las Vegas Club, and El Rancho had everything from swing bands, blues and jazz artists to female dancers, which would actually evolve into the showgirls that Vegas is famous for.
It's just a little bitty pissant country place.
In 1928, Vegas even opened its first theater called, and I'm just reading it, I'm going to assume it was pronounced El Portal.
I'm thinking, yeah, Spanish.
I apologize. I'm going to El Portal.
Good call.
Which,
you got it down, my Spanish-speaking friend.
That's it. Which also happened to be the first building in Vegas with air conditioning. Could you imagine sitting anywhere in Vegas in August without air conditioning?
Fuck.
Holy crap. Oh. Anyway, you could watch live and screen shows in cool comfort. And today, you can still see that building as an Indian craft and souvenir store across from the D. Mm. Can I call it Indian or is it Native American?
Oh, Jesus. It's Indian. We haven't got there yet. We're
okay.
Not.
Okay. All right. All right. I don't know where the line is. Let me know. All
right. I'm sure somebody write in offending, and tell us.
When I start offending people, let me know. Okay.
Yeah.
As Vegas grew and turned from a train stop in the middle of the desert into a full-blown city, it became evident that it needed bigger and better acts to keep everybody entertained. Also, with a little help from the mob, big-name acts were brought in and paid handsomely to perform, even though you'd have a hard time proving that. Pretty sure they didn't keep receipts.
No shit.
Anyway,
God.
In 1944, Liberace made his debut, soon followed by Frank Sinatra in 51, way before his Rat Pack days. And our future president, Ronald Star Wars Reagan,
that guy,
at the Last Frontier in 54. The floodgates opened for all kinds of acts after that. Elvis played his early shows at the New Frontier in 56, before he would come back in 69 or 70s and sell out shows and steal hearts, as well as black light posters and useless snow globes, bell-bottomed sequin jumpsuits. I could keep going, but I think I'll stop there.
Does nobody remember the black light velvet posters? My Aunt Edith loved Elvis, and she had that shit all over the fucking place. She even had a light underneath it. It was really sad.
We were born in the 80s, Shane. We weren't around for that.
Oh, all right, ass.
Yes, all right, sir.
Whatever.
He said it best.
Born in the fucking 80s. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, in your dreams, guy. All right.
Damn. Anyway. We want to cover a little bit about Elvis. Since Vegas and the King go hand in hand, his persona in Vegas, especially when he sold out 636 shows from 1969 to 76 at the Las Vegas Hilton, has been legendary. Not only his music and movies that he personally starred in, like Viva Las Vegas in 64, but movies that use his bigger-than-life legacy, like Honeymoon in Vegas in 92, and 3,000 Miles to Graceland in 2001. And the one thing that we cannot talk about, Elvis impersonators. Elvis impersonators began as early as the mid-50s, when he became popular. Rumor has it that just before his death, Elvis entered an impersonator competition and took third. Ouch.
That sucks.
There is an Elvis festival every year in Vegas, and this year it's held from July 12th to the 15th, and you can get tickets from $179 for a silver ticket bundle or $299 for the Cadillac bundle. We shit you not.
Jesus Christ.
An honorable mention as far as all Elvis impersonators is Pete Valley, other known as Big Elvis. He has been performing Elvis for over 20 years and can be seen at Harris Piano Bar on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock. Truly a legend in his own time. Check him out.
Yeah, so
we'll interrupt.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. I think I know where you're going to go, by the way, but go ahead.
Bogan, if you're listening, yeah. We're aware that it was the Intercontinental in 1969.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And just for that being said, I had that written and I was starting to go veer off into the history side. And I thought, wait a minute. We're starting to get more delved into this. So I just kind of cut it and put it on the Hilton. Another thing, Bogan, that you might not, there is a there's a thing with the 636 shows. There's some people saying that it was, I think, 828 or something. It was a different count. And it's all a big controversy. What I can find with 636, sir, write me if that's not the case. Or anybody who happens to be an Elvis fan like you, Aunt Edith, with all your 12 cats and your Elvis memorabilia, you can write me too. I'm sure I'll hear from you. But anyway, those are the two things. Just FYI. So in 57, the infamous Vegas Showgirls made a debut at the Desert Inn with a show called Minsky's Follies in 1960. And wait for it. So the infamous Rat Pack played for the first time at the Sands. Now, before we get yelled at, just want to say one thing. We're in the process of researching and writing our first podcast special, kind of, where we get a little bit more in depth. None other than on the Rat Pack. Personally, I've been in awe with these guys for a long time. I love the history. So we all do. It's just amazing. So we're not going to really go in depth here. But tune in to see that happening, and then that, of course, will add to that. So, you know, I tried to do those guys justice the best we could. We'll do them more justice down the road. So, you're welcome, Joe. The long story short on the Rat Pack was the name itself. Some people can contribute that the group consists of Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Joey Bishop, and Peter Lawford, which is true. But even before that, the name Rat Pack was given by the media. Used for a various group of entertainers and included all of the above, but also names like Angie Dickinson and Buddy Greco, just to name a few. You know, the Marilyn Monroe list went on and on. But let's just stick to these five for now. So they were brought to Vegas by old Blue Eyes himself that played back there in 51, and they ruled that town for years.
Other famous entertainers in Vegas is a list that is long as fuck, but a few should be mentioned. Jimmy Duarte, Milton Berle, Don Rickles, Phyllis Diller, George Burns, Jerry Lewis, Joe E. Lewis, Marlene Dietrich, Louis Prima, Harry Belafonte, Dorothy Dandridge, Cher, Paul Anka, Willie Nelson, Julio Iglesias, Barbara Streisand, Tom Jones, Red Fox, Charo, and Prince.
Jesus.
Just to name a few.
God.
Now, there are residencies in Vegas where performers will play a limited engagements for a short time. Nowadays, to be honest, it's kind of out of control. A residency can't be for 10 years, for fuck's sakes. Talking to you, Donnie and Marie.
Talking to you, Donnie and Marie. Jesus Christ, 10 years. Just say you live there already. Fuck. We're not upset about that at all. Anywho, so there you go. That's some of the shows. Stay tuned for some cartoons.
Hello, everyone. This is Shannon from the Neon Vacation website and blog. We've just returned from yet another amazing trip to fabulous Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. I invite you to visit neonvacation.com for all your Vegas needs. We have everything a Vegas enthusiast could want, plus news, reviews, and interesting articles in our blog. Trip reports, restaurant and hotel reviews, and even some local perspective on all things Vegas. You can find us on Twitter at Neon Vacation, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for any updates. If we don't see you in Vegas, we'll see you at neonvacation.com. They didn't know just what to
use, but this... we are just shooting the shit over here, you know? So, anywho. Yeah. Ho, 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 it's magic, you know. Never believe it's not so. So some people may not feel the same as I do about magic shows. I'll safely say that I know it is a complete crock of shit. I get it. I know it. But watching a great magician razzle and dazzle his audience on stage makes me feel like I have wonder and amazement again. Like I time warp back to being 10. I remember watching David Copperfield when I was a kid. When he made the Statue of Liberty disappear, walk through the Great Wall of China. You know, Dad would, he'd just get up off the couch and he'd wander away and he'd mumble, you know, this is what passes for shit on TV. And he'd leave, you know, and their mom and I, you know, we'd just stare at the TV and be in awe. We knew it was fake, both of us, but we'd watch every last minute, right from the end. I had a typical magic kit Granddad bought me, and I loved that thing. I tried to make things work. 10 years old, you know, underneath the tree. I could never get past a fucking disappearing hanky thing, let alone all the other tricks and bullshit that just I don't have patience to learn. So in my eyes, magic adds a hidden something to the equation. Mystery, gypsy folklore, all of it again, just strictly bullshit, we know that, but it's nice to just shut the reality every day down and tune into some hocus pocus. It's fun and totally innocent entertainment, unless you watch that show Lore of Illusions. That son of a bitch fucked me up, scary as shit. Anyway, so without further ado, we're going to dive into magic shows.
Siegfried and Roy were best known for their innovative magic show featuring real lions and tigers. They performed 30,000 spellbinding shows from 1967 to 2003, helping to bring Las Vegas out of Sin City and into a family era. Anyone who has seen their magic show is familiar with the word Sarmodi, an acronym that is described as Siegfried and Roy, Masters of the Impossible. They used it on stage in lieu of abracadabra.
Yes, they did. I've heard that over and over again. Penn and Teller. So Penn and Teller is another famous Vegas-based magician duo. These entertainers have been honing their illusionist skills since 1975 and started receiving national acclaim in the late 1980s. The Bad Boys of Magic is what they're known for. First performed in Las Vegas in 1993. They actually are currently the longest-running show in Vegas, other than Donnie Murray, evidently. Fun fact, check out Penn's podcast, Sunday School. It is a kick in the ass. I listen to it all the time. Yeah, love it.
Next up is David Copperfield. For 13 years now, David Copperfield has played in Vegas. Performing at the MGM Grand, he's one of the magicians that has seen his way through the evolution of Vegas, and he's still around. Truly an artist on stage. Other notable acts for magic include Mack King, Piff the Magic Dragon, Nathan Burton, Matt Franco, and nobody's favorite, Chris Angel. I believe his show was just canceled. I think he went from...
I heard, yeah, yeah.
Right? It was a Cirque show, and then Cirque dumped him, and then he was either producing for himself, and even he doesn't want to have.
I don't think he wants everything. Yeah, I caught that at the end, and yeah, it's like, ugh, whatever. I've never been a Chris Angel fan. Sorry for those of you who have been.
That fucker's been going 10 years, too.
I think he's been there for Luxor. He's been playing Luxor for a long, long time. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Although I will say, out of all those guys, we did see Matt King. And I think he does a Harris show in the afternoon. Family friendly.
Yeah.
Again, nice. Mm-hmm. It's fun. You know, he eats a goldfish, does all kinds of stuff. Piff plays at your favorite place, the Dirty Bird there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He plays there at Flamingo. So, and then the other two I haven't seen, but I've heard good things.
Dark as shame, darling, dark as shame. Thank you.
Wayne Newton and Las Vegas are inseparable in many people's minds. This is especially true of his famous song, Donka Shane. Mr. Las Vegas performed more than 30,000 shows in Vegas, starting in 1959 at the Fremont Hotel with the Newton Brothers. He celebrated his 25,000th performance in Las Vegas in 1996 and continues to perform at Bally's. Love him in Vegas Vacation? Can't get enough? Suck it, Mitchell.
He fucking hates that show. It's funny. So the Blue Man Group. So started in 1987 and showing in Vegas since 2000. The Blue Man Group has continued to add weird shit to their shows every year, although entertaining. I mean, I got to say, that's one of the first ones I've wanted to see. Fun to watch. Great for kids again, might we add. They have been playing at the Luxor. They moved to Monte Carlo on a new contract, but this is like breaking news, kind of, sort of. They just signed another contract to move back to Luxor here in the future. Another, I think, 5 years added. So there you go. You know, you get a chance to see these guys for a long time coming.
All right. My favorite show in all of Vegas.
Yes.
Is Absinthe. Now, this show is found in the carnival tent in front of Caesar's. The show is described as a little bit of vaudeville, some burlesque, and a lot of weird. I just describe it as fucking awesome. It was – I've seen this show twice, and I would pay to see it a third time.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, like the show changes a little bit each time. Unless you want to really be actively involved in the show,
yes.
Do not sit in the front row. And when I say actively involved in the show, think Don Rickles actively involved in the show.
Son of a bitch.
Right? So think about it before you take one of those seats. You can thank us later.
Oh.
Next is the Jubilee. It's a burlesque show that started in Vegas in 1981. Las Vegas has been known for its showgirls since the 1950s, and this production's of the most revered of its genre. It's set, it's epic, and even includes three-ton bull in its Samson and Delilah scene in a reenactment of the sinking of the Titanic. This adult show reopened in March 2014 with a reimagined, modernized rewrite, and what we mentioned it because, well, it's showgirls. It has sadly since been closed, but its legacy lives in every time you see a woman dress up as a showgirl on the strip. That soon turns into an awkward conversation with your girl on why you're staring.
And there are a bunch of them, too. Cirque du Soleil shows, originally meaning Circus of the Sun or Sun Circus, started out as a Canadian entertainment company that is the largest theatrical producer in the world. Started in 1984 by two street performers, this company helped old school Vegas turn into the glitz and glamour that it is today. Shows such as Zumanity, Ka, and Love, you literally can throw a stick in Vegas and fucking hit one of these shows. And I think you went to Ka, right, Jules?
I did. It was so interesting. I fell asleep.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, that's so yeah. Sad. I have a hard time being in one spot and not being entertained by either dice or blackjack chips. So oh, it's really hard to keep me entertained in one spot. Yeah, I ended up falling asleep. I think that's the only show we'd been to. So want to check out the Absinthe show and the Blue Man Group show down the road. But it's just hard, man. It's only so much little time, even though they're a week.
little time.
One more note to add. For those of you that are in the Caesars Entertainment Total Rewards world, They have tickets that they give away every month for people that are diamond or higher. I think it's buy one, get one for platinum members. That's one of the few Las Vegas specific perks that I think you could find some real value with. We've seen basically every show that gets offered, and list changes from month to month. But we've had a good time at least half of them. The rest, you know, if you don't like it, you walk out. It was
That's
free.
Right. That's cool. Right. Yeah, I can't wait to check out Absinthe. That's one I've been kind of not really dragging my feet on. I just like Jules, man. I never have enough time. But that show, I guess, is just amazing. So
Eric's favorite show. We got to check it out.
There you go.
By far. And I've gone to just about all of the Cirque shows. My wife likes them. You know, some of them were better than others. But none of them hold a candle to Absinthe.
That's cool. That's good to know. Well, you know, I tell you, there are so much more that we could have covered in shows. We try to be kind of quick because there's so many. We might revisit, but man, there's just so much to go to. You know, another aspect of Vegas where, you know, yeah, you can be the casino gambler and that's awesome. This is so much more you can do over here. Just another layer of it, you know. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. There's something else that you're going to enjoy as well.
All right, guys, time for one of my favorite parts of the show, food reviews. You guys know me. I'm a chef from California, and I'm big into the food scene. That being said, no matter where we end up, Las Vegas, Atlantic City, Biloxi, or London, you guys know we're going to eat. Also, going to a restaurant is always like an experience for myself. From the minute we walk in to the minute we leave, we are watching service, servers, and the kitchen. And you know we're going to review something next, so let's get into it.
Awesome.
Jesus. Speaking of IHOP, we have a food review.
Awesome. So in this food review, we're going to be covering a place that's located inside the Cosmopolitan called China Poblano. Some people have made the joke that it's called China Poblano, but we're American. We're in America, baby. China Poblano it is. So, this place has 3.8 stars on Google, has 4 stars on Yelp. Again, this wasn't on the agenda, it wasn't planned. We were kind of in the middle of the Mandarin Bar and the Cosmo having drinks. So, we kind of decided, hey, we're hungry, where do we want to go? And I think it was Chris from Faces and Aces who mentioned, hey, my favorite, my wife Jenny, her favorite spot is right here at the Cosmo. It's called China Poblano. I was like, well, after hearing the name... And I was sold on China. I love Chinese food. I said, let's do it. So I think it was 7 of us. We headed over. Again, no expectations. The 7 of us sat down. We were met by our server. Her name was Kim. Very, very good server on top of her game. So the menu was very interesting to me. I saw the options from noodles, dim sum, egg rolls, to tacos, guacamole, ceviches. Mind was blown. Even... chilaquiles to Mongolian beef. That's right. This place's menu was a combination of Chinese and Mexican food in the same spot. Can you say smart? A lot of the group tried the majority of the tacos, ranging from pork to duck to beef tongue, lengua, fish, chicken. Myself, I went out of the loop and I tried the 20 fried rice bowl. Consists of 20 different vegetables, cooked perfectly and seasoned well. Followed by, I did sample on my wife's 2 tacos, 1 chicken, 1 carnitas. I know what you're thinking, and yes, I did have munchies. Back to the tacos. Chicken, carnitas, very juicy. Also had some great hot salsa added on top to put them over the top. Our server, Kim, like I said, on her game. Everyone's meals, drinks, everybody stayed filled. Very great spot. We left with a great experience, and we even discussed how great of an experience we had at that place. They also offer a tasting menu for $45 where you can try all of their specialty drinks and their main samplers. Even a cocktail experience for $32, you can try all their specialty drinks in-house. So a big shout out to China Poblano and Chris's wife Jenny for the highly rated restaurant. Thank you.
Awesome. No, it was cool. It was beyond neat. My wife loved it too, just for the
menu.
What
did you have, Shane?
What did I have? She had the tacos, I think, with your wife. Your wife had that too. I had God, what did I have? It was some kind of an egg roll of some sort, and it was something else.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, you would think it was a weird mix, but damn, it was really, it was well served, like you said. Great food, and what they picked off the different traditional menus for what those cultures might be, if you want to kind of nitpick on that, what they put together in one menu, I think was well chosen. You know, a little bit of everything. Just really, really cool. Good experience. Again, thank you, Chris, man. You know, that was a good, you know, I know his wife loves it. One of her favorite places, I think he said. So, yeah.
Eric, you ever been, Eric?
I have. And I'm an American, and I call it China Poblano.
Oh, fuck. Here we go. Here we go.
But I do. You know, Cosmo has so many great restaurants, but that one is quick, easy. The food is good. I'm a fan. It's definitely it's one of my favorites.
There's another one I saw that was in the Cosmo. It's something with hamburgers and shakes. I want to check that one out.
Yeah. Burgers are pretty good. The shakes, you can get like the boozy shakes. I think that's really more the drawing card than the burger. I would say it's a good burger. I wouldn't call it a great burger. But, you know, if you're at Cosmo or if you're, you know, wanting some milkshake, you know, with alcohol, that's a good option.
That's the way to go. I will say too, I'll throw in there for any of you who, because obviously we have a problem pronouncing what it's called between to be an American and to be what it's called. If again, Chris from Faces and Aces, I think what, 2-3 episodes back, if you guys are curious, he interviewed me, sat down, and we kind of talked about trip a little bit. He literally called the restaurant while we're on recording just to see how they pronounced it and got it straight from the horse's mouth. So, I thought that was pretty cool. So if you care, again, that's Chris off Faces and Aces. Great podcast, covers a lot of ground. So yeah,
and it's China Poblano.
Fuck yes, whatever. Anyway,
by the way, this ready for this? Hang on, Logan. We know it's China Poblano. It's okay.
There you go. Perfect. Fucking perfect. So awesome, everybody. Hopefully you enjoyed that. We had a little bit of everything in there. Jules, thank you for the food review. Any plugs? Any of you guys got anything on your side?
Again, I mentioned our buddy Tim over at The Better Life. You guys go check him out. Check out Sean over at Bourbon and Branch Podcast. These are all our friends, and we're making this community grow. They're all good people, and they all have some very good insight. Check them out, guys.
Definitely, definitely.
Just a reminder, we've got Gamble Palooza at Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun, April 20th and 21st. We have Zorkfest at Treasure Island in Las Vegas. That is Memorial Day weekend. Jay is coming out to Atlantic City one of the first 2 weeks of June. So we're going to create a meetup around his visit back east. And if anybody happens to be at Mohegan Sun this weekend, I'll be there with Michael Traeger. So welcome you to come over and grab a drink. And actually, looking at my messages, it would appear Cousin Vito will be joining us. So if you like Cousin Vito, you like Michael Traeger, or you like myself, or hopefully all three of us, come have a drink with us.
There you go. The only thing I have, if anybody knows how to get rid of these picketing elderly women in front of my home, that would be fantastic. So that has been Vegas Confessions. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers.
We got a secret weapon. God is our co-pilot.
You'll need him.
God is our co-pilot?
Huh? Remember our car?
Yeah.
Two seats. Where's he gonna sit? Where?
So you can find us at VegasConfessionsPod@gmail.com. Call us at our hotline and leave a message, 559-461-7488. Keep in mind that's 3 minutes, but that should give you plenty of time to leave a story. If you want to call back, we can add on to that. Remember, folks, we are listener interactive. The more you interact like something as simple as a song request, the less we have to yell at you guys to send us all your shit.
Also, want to get a hold of us through social media? Don't be a stranger. We'd love to hear from you guys. You can find my brother and second wife at Shane Mields on Twitter. You can find me at Julian Romero 559 on both Twitter and Facebook. Get to know our newest brother from another mother. on Twitter at erosenthal1029. Also, you can see videos of all of our group trips and meetups from Las Vegas to Atlantic City on YouTube/jromero559. Do me a huge favor by subscribing to there too. Thank you all, and we love y'all.
That being said, we thank you folks so much for listening. We hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. Do us a huge favor by 1, subscribing to the podcast, and 2, leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. It always helps spread the word about us, and little by little helps people find us. Cheers.
Cheers.
Peace.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a 9. So fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo, but somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. I might fall from a tall building. I might roll a brand new car. 'Cause I'm the unknown stuntman that made Redford such a star. I've never spent much time in school, but I taught ladies plenty. It's true, I hire my body out for pay. Hey, hey, I've gotten burned over Cheryl Teagues, blown up for Raquel Welch. But when I wind up in the hay, it's only hay, hey, hey. I might jump an open drawbridge or Tarzan from a vine. 'Cause I'm the unknown stuntman that makes Eastwood look so fine. They'll never make me president, but I got the best first ladies. Some days I've got home as far as the eye can see. Ooh-wee. A morning dive with Jackie Smith, I crash in the night with Cheryl. But in the end, they never stay with me. I might fall from a tall building so Burt Reynolds don't get hurt. I might leap a mighty canyon so he can't kiss and flirt. While that smooth talker's kissing my girl, I'm just kissing dirt. Yes, I'm the lonely stuntman that made a lover out of Burt.